Hi there, many thanks for joining us. It's the Sweet Spot, the Racing Post's weekly golf show with Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer. Looking ahead to the second major of the year, the USPGA Championship takes place this week and dominates the show. Before then, we'll look back on four tournaments last week, which had varying degrees of drama. I must say, there was a lot of really good golf last week. Did you enjoy the golf, would you say, or how did it leave you feeling?
No, I didn't enjoy the golf. I came down, crashing back down to earth last week after a couple of weeks of highs. Got a speeding ticket on the Wednesday that came through the post. So I lost money before the golf had even started. And then the golf didn't really go my way.
How fast were you going?
I was doing 14 or 30, which I'm not proud of. But I will be suitably punished for that. Don't you worry.
Can you go on a speed awareness course, or have you already been on one?
Already been on one in the 3-year thingy, Bobby. So that is points and fines. But I deserve to be punished for that. I apologise to all other road users.
Good man. Okay. Well, if you do enjoy the Sweet Spot, don't forget to like, subscribe, share, and comment. And what's your main comment on last week's golf? Can I start the bidding with what a brilliant tournament the Byron Nelson was? A really, really good finish. Mystery right up to the end, some great human interest stories, and fair play to Jason Day, who ended his drought. If you backed him at 16-1, well done. Jason Day, former world number one, is back. Tips aside, bets aside, thought it was a really excellent finish.
Yeah. Jason Day, his second Byron Nelson victory 13 years after his first one. His maiden PGA Tour title came in that event, and now he's got his 13th PGA Tour title in it. But yeah, no regrets from me, Bruce, because he's just not a player I'm back anymore due to his always got some fitness issue. I just can't trust him to retain his health. And he was talking a lot about vertigo in the lead up to that event. The vertigo is back haunting him, unfortunately. Shot an 80 in the final round of the Masters. So, difficult one to find. And, no sort of price, really, 16-1.
Fair enough. Okay. And nice scenes, though, with his family. They all look a lovely bunch, don't they? So that was interesting. I thought I liked the Ekroats as well, didn't you? Austin Ekroat was giving it a good go. And he had a massive entourage following him round with Amanda Baglionis kind of orchestrating them like the Pied Piper. I thought he gave it a really good go, and he could be one for the future, couldn't he?
Yeah, it was a heartwarming story all round. You're right. I mean, Jason Day's got a pregnant wife again, hasn't he? I mean, oh, goodness, no, he's competing with Tony Finau for kids. He might have been double figures by the time he's finished. And then the Ekroats had a whale of a time. And all good. But we're looking for winners, and we didn't get one there.
Okay, and just very quickly, we often talk about headgear here, don't we, and our aversion to visors. What did you make of Marty Doe's hat? It was like one of those floppy things that a fielder would wear in the 80s, or maybe someone going to Glastonbury. Yeah. Do you think that's a sign of a winner, or would question marks about him, do you think?
It's a sign of weakness, I don't really see it. He doesn't look like a champion. A bit like Tapio Pulkkanen on the DP World Tour. Yeah, he wears a silly sort of pork pie hat. And, if you don't take yourself seriously, why should we take it seriously? That's the way I look at these things.
Fair enough. Okay, we'll spin through. There's the Sudal Open. You did well to find Simon Forsstrom over about 125-1. And, he was a new name to me. Burst through, gutsed it out, took advantage of Detry's feeble final round. But I mean, there was a clue about him when he took his hat off. There wasn't much underneath there, was there? So I was thinking, is this like a young gun? But he's actually fairly well into his career. So is that a one-off, do you think, or could we see a bit more of him?
That's a journeyman who hasn't done much in his career, as you say, but he did have one previous decent victory, and that was in Belgium. His win on the Challenge Tour came in Belgium. So for something about Belgium that brings out the best in him, but he's obviously a hugely difficult one to find. I was just pleased that Jens Dantorp didn't win. We've had him a lot on those sort of courses, accurate tree line tracks. I was so relieved that Jens Dantorp didn't win 150-1, but difficult one to find there.
Not difficult to find. Regions Traditions, the favourite Steve Stricker won that very impressively, and the other tournament was Live Tulsa, and I'm sure the Live organisers enjoyed this one, because not only did they get some social media gold with Chase Koepka scoring an ace at one of those par threes which they turn into like the 16th at Phoenix, with grandstands all around the place and everyone's chucking beer on and whooping. God, they do love to whoop, Americans. They love that. But they also got a really high quality playoff with Dustin Johnson, Cameron Smith both coming back to form, and Brandon Grace, and it was DJ who got it done at the first extra hole. So probably a week which the LIV organisers will give themselves a pat on the back if they've got long arms.
Yeah, and we should be giving ourselves a punch in the face in contrast.
Oh, because, blimey, why?
Yeah, well, it all comes down to ability, didn't it? I got too wrapped up in form last week. You always put ability over form. And, you know, the two best players come out of, you know, they're sort of mini slumps. You know, Dustin Johnson and Cameron Smith. LIV Golf used to be all about those two players. And there they were in the playoff there. So, if they're back to their best, then we could see Dustin Johnson, Cameron Smith, you know, dominating that circuit again.
I don't advocate punching yourself in the face over the outcome of a golf tournament, Steve. But
I was pretty angry with myself last week, but I've dusted myself down and I'm feeling pretty positive about this week.
Right, let's look ahead then. As we say, it's the second major of the year, the US PGA. It starts on Thursday, and I will give you some indicative market prices. I'm sure the bookmakers are pushing the boat out in terms of extra places. Scotty Scheffler and John Rahm are joint favourites at 15-2. Rory McIlroy 12, Xander Schauffele 18, Patrick Cantlay 18, Brooks Koepka 20, Tony Finau 25 bar. All sorts of weird and wonderful names down the bottom. I noticed someone called Kenny Pigman. That was quite intriguing. But there's obviously all the good ones have turned up. Tell us all about the venue, Steve, before we get your fancies.
Sounds like a superhero, doesn't he? Pigman!
Kenny Pigman,
We'll be cheering him on this week. But yeah, we're at the East Course. Oak Hill Country Club, Pittsford, Rochester, New York. 7,394 yards par 70. Only two par fives. 156 players going to post. On a course that is nothing like it was when we last saw it. You probably remember this one. You know, 2013 US PGA at Oak Hill. We backed Jason Duffner to win that 40-1. Do you remember?
We
watched a round of that golf tournament in a public house in Surrey. I can't remember the name of the house.
The White Lion.
The White Lion. They were joyous days. And they were the days, weren't they? Because I remember going in the betting shop on the Monday morning, a Ladbrokes shop on the Monday morning, getting a brown envelope of money after Duffner had won. And I was going to ask you this, do brown envelopes even exist anymore? You know,
you can buy brown envelopes.
but in the betting shop, they won't be doing that anymore. It'll all be cards, won't it? Your fancy cards.
I'm sure. I haven't been fortunate enough to collect a wad of notes from a betting shop in many a year. So, yeah, I can't really tell you. But
I think the brown envelope days are behind us, and the Jason Duffner winning the USPGA days are behind us. This is a totally different golf course. I could go through all the tournaments they've had at this golf course. I'm not going to bother, because just don't bother looking at them. I mean, this is a new golf course. Redesigned.
In what sense? What have they done?
They've uprooted and destroyed virtually thousands of trees. There's about 600 trees gone. When Andrew Green, the fellow that redesigned it, he's asked the question, how many trees did you take down? He hasn't got an answer. It was so many. It's getting on for 1,000. Andrew Green is this sort of young stud of the course design game. And, he's making a bit of a name for himself. And he's done a really good job on this. Yeah, he's made much more space off the tee. Yeah, it used to be a tight tree line, Jason Duffner style track, accuracy off the tee. Now, much more room to manoeuvre off the tee, but the rough's really juicy. The bunkers are very, very penal if you find them. But I think approach play is the key now. The approach shots are really difficult. Trouble left, trouble right. You have to be straight on approach, and you're coming in with long irons for a lot of them. This is a difficult test. I think if you get to 10 under par, you've got a good chance of being the champion.
Wow. He's going to have all sorts of eco warriors on his case if he starts chopping down 600 trees just to make a golf course a bit different, isn't it? That's one green that the eco warriors won't like, isn't it?
I think it is possible to uproot a tree and move it, though, isn't it? Maybe they sent them off to...
No. You just plant new ones. To be fair, I mean, the cutting down of trees is obviously not good, but you can replant more, can't you? And then the world's a better place. Hopefully.
You can make a lot of good wardrobes out of the ones you do chop down.
Exactly.
This other thing. Yeah, so we're going to get very chilly. I must mention how chilly it's going to be morning. Very, very cold opening morning. Don't expect many birdies on that first morning. Gets a bit warmer in the afternoon. On Friday, it's going to be very windy, warmer but windier. And then we get a mixture of sunshine and clouds over the weekend and moderate breezes. So, yeah, it's unsettled weather forecast. And as I say, I think 10 under is a competitive mark.
Righty ho, without further ado, how many selections have you got, Steve? 4. Brilliant. Who is the headline tip this week?
That hasn't caused technical problems, has it, producer? Will, sometimes that destroys our audio. Are we okay?
I think we're okay so far.
Yeah. The number one choice is Tony Finau at 22-1, who relishes difficult major setups like this one. He finished 14th on his major debut in the 2015 US Open. He's had 10 top 10 finishes in majors. He's got a top 5 finish in each of the 4 majors. He was 4th in the 2020 USPGA. This is a fella clearly ready to win his first major this week. Over the last 10 months, he's made this transition from regular nearly man to prolific champion. He turned pro in 2007. Going into July last year, he had only 2 PGA Tour titles, which was disappointing for a man of his talent. Then he's developed this killer instinct. In his early 30s, he's found this steel, and he's now got 6 PGA Tour titles, much more trustworthy in contention. The latest win came at the end of last month in the Mexico Open. He went up against John Rahm. Rahm threw the kitchen sink at him, Saturday 61. It looked like the world number one was going to get yet another trophy. But Finau rallied impressively against it, beat Rahm by 3 shots in that duel. Confidence coursing through the veins of Big Tony. We mentioned how important approach play is going to be this week. Finau is top of the PGA Tour strokes gained on approach statistics. He's long enough off the tee to handle this long par 70. He's played 12 tournaments this year, finished no worse than 31st place in any of them. And he's got that mutual love with the New York galleries as well. I think New York galleries will play a big role this week. He finished 5th in the 2018 US Open in New York. He won the 2021 Northern Trust in New Jersey. You know, the New Yorkers love Big Tony. Big Tony loves the New Yorkers. I think it's going to be joyous scenes on Sunday when he lifts the Wanamaker trophy.
Oh, that would be good. Excellent. Yeah, because he'll have his family all around him, as he always does. Brilliant. Love that. Tony Finau is the top tip. Who's the second one?
Another really solid each-way bet. Now 18-1. Still a fair price. Xander Schauffele. It's major time. As you mentioned, the each-way terms are great. Get your selection in the thick of things on Sunday. You essentially secure a free win bet. Finau and Schauffele, so likely to be there or thereabouts on Sunday. You know, such consistent operators. Since winning the Zurich Classic Pairs event alongside Patrick Cantlay last year, Schauffele has just been in rock-solid form. He won 3 tournaments on his own last year, Travelers Championship, JP McManus Pro-Am, Scottish Open. He's had 20 top 20s in his last 24 events. You know, so consistent, all-round class. Like Finau, Schauffele has got 10 major top 10s on his CV. He was 2nd in the 2018 Open, 2nd in the 2019 Masters. And in the 2 recent US Opens in New York, he was excellent. 6th in 2018 at Shinnecock Hills, 5th in 2020 at Winged Foot. He's finished in the top 15 in the last 4 majors. So both of these main tips, you know, building towards that first major victory. And I think one of them is going to get it on Sunday. You know, approach play stats, you know, all important for me. Schauffele is 5th on the PGA Tour strokes gained on approach.
And definitely got the steel for the heat of battle on a Sunday, you reckon?
I think so. I mean, my plan with these two players is to, yeah, I feel so confident. I know you sneered a little bit when I said, what did I say? They're definitely going to be, you know, get a free win bet, whatever.
Yeah, maybe that's I kind of, it's more of a wince because I know, in all the years I've been, you know, working in and around betting and people talk about horses and golf, each way bets are nothing, can't be out the frame. I always just think of Kevin Pauline. The worst thing that can happen is the worst thing that can happen, you know?
Yeah, you're right. There's no such thing as a free lunch, but I just think we can get these guys in the top 12 and then take our chances from there.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Nice one. Okay, Steve, who else have we got? Who's the number 3 tip?
2 from the top, 2 from the bottom. And the third selection is Gary Woodland, 80-1 now. Annoying early money, but 80-1, still more than fair because this guy, getting his game back in the sort of shape which saw him win the 2019 US Open at Pebble Beach. You remember that one?
Very much so.
And Woodland's had loads of injury issues since then, mainly a bad hip. But he's got full fitness again now, swinging with confidence. His tee to green stats recently are really eye-catching. I think, you know, he could easily win major number 2 on Sunday. Over the last 6 months, the old Woodland has returned. 9th at Riviera in February, 14th in the Masters last month, 14th at Quail Hollow last time out. And we know he can be a threat in the USPGA. He was 6th in the 2018 USPGA. He was 8th in the 2019 USPGA, which was in New York. This season, look at his stats. 10th on the PGA Tour for strokes gained off the tee. 10th for strokes gained on approach. we can find some improvement on and around the greens, we got a massive runner at a big price.
Okay. It would be ironic, wouldn't it, that a course that's had so much woodland removed, if woodland was to win it, wouldn't it?
Oh, preliminary. Yeah, I can just imagine you and Murray talking, using that one on Sunday.
I'm not sure he would. He might use Gary Woodland's middle name, like he likes to do that, doesn't he? When they nail the winning part, he's like, Nicholas Alexander Faldo is major champion. Okie dokes, and we've got one more, haven't we? Who's this?
It's Ricky Fowler. Keeping
the faith.
Yeah, I'm convinced Ricky Fowler is going to lift silverware this year. I don't see why it can't be the Warnemaker Trophy. 70-1 best now. I mean, you know, as I say, he's getting back to his best. And let's not forget his best. You know, it got into world number four. You know, Fowler has improved in all departments this season. Butch Harmon's got him playing, swinging with freedom again. And he moved back inside the top 50 of the world rankings last time. You know, significant to get back in the top 50 of the world rankings. He was 14th in the Wells Fargo when we're on in for that. That was Fowler's eighth top 20 this year. Eight top 20s this year, 13th at Sawgrass. He beat John Rahm in the match play. He's ready to contend for the biggest prizes again. And listen to this, you know, fully digest this. If you forget how good Fowler was, eight top fives in majors, including 3 second places. You know, and even during his slump, he was eighth in the 2021 USPGA. So 2 years later, he tees up in the same event, bursting with, you know, with much more self-belief. And yeah, I'm really quite excited about this week. I because all of my four selections are such good eggs. You know, they're really popular for good reasons. I mean, you know, I'm a ruthless punter. Mm. You know, I would back Vladimir Putin to win a golf tournament if I thought he was going to win. I don't care if I hate all the players I back. You know, it's all about who I think's going to win. And I've just got really lucky this week.
But it's a bonus if you like them, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's an added layer of joy, isn't it? So these are four great guys and they're four great bets.
Brilliant. I do wish he'd get rid of that moustache. I'm not a fan of that. It makes him look a bit like Leonardo DiCaprio, which is no bad thing, obviously. But I'm not a fan of that moustache, the little droopy bits. But anyway, good luck with...
Putin, though, but I've missed something.
No,
might as well get a moustache the way he's conducting himself.
No, Ricky Fowler. But okay, well, should we have a little word on the market leaders? We've still got the kind of, well, it's a big two, really, and then a third, isn't it? Scheffler and Rahm are joint favourites. Scheffler, a little bit disappointing if you backed him last week. I know he was only prodding around trying to get himself ready for this week, but that putter was as cold as ice, wasn't it?
Yeah, and the weather wasn't nice, was it? I don't think it was a particularly pleasant warm-up event for him. And that lack of putting confidence, it was cemented last week. You know, it's been going on for a long while now, but it's not stopped him winning tournaments, is it? Not so, you know, the fact he won the Players' Championship by half the track, he won at Sawgrass by half the track, putting like, you know, you or I. Mm. There's more than one way to skin a cat. You know, he could just stiff all his approaches and the putt is irrelevant. He's hitting his ball so well. But you don't want to take short odds about that happening. You know, I had no interest in 15-2.
Big Johnny Rahm?
Again, price 15-2. You know, bookmakers giving him nothing away there. And I just wonder whether those sensitive ears might return. You know, Augusta is the most filtered crowd in golf. It was easy for him to focus there. Nobody's going to upset you there. You know, the rowdy New York crowd is a different kettle of fish. And I thought it was noteworthy that Rahm has missed four cuts in his entire major career and two of them have come in New York. So, are they going to get in his ear a little bit and upset him? Entirely feasible. Again, it's just a small doubt that you, for a 15-2 shot, you don't want any.
Okay. It would take not necessarily a brave man, but you are taking a bit of a leap of faith with Rory at the moment, aren't you? 12-1, is that getting veering towards backable?
It's just the ultimate conundrum this week, isn't it? You know, there are lots of positives. There are lots of negatives. Get them all in the melting pot and see whether you want to take 12-1. I don't want to take 12-1. You know, fantastic USPGA record. Knows the course better than most of the runners this week. He's an Oak Hill member. His wife is from Rochester. He's had a few scouting missions since these redesign. But the Masters, you know, the Augusta gutbuster is one of the biggest gutbusters of his career. It was an awful performance. Next time out at Quail Hollow, made loads of course management errors. I think he's difficult to trust mentally at the moment. I know that's a bit rich coming from me. I can never be trusted.
We don't have to bet on you, though, Steve.
You don't have to bet on me. You can't trust me mentally at any time. But yeah, I just think McIlroy's not quite, he's not quite there at the moment, is he?
Okay. Who was last off the list?
Let me get the short list. Yeah, that'd be very easy. It wasn't a long list, I'll have you know. And last off the list was Max Homer. Max Homer, who's showing signs of a return to form. And his old majors record is appalling, but he's a different man now, isn't he? So there's I'm very happy with my four. I'm not going to beat myself up if Homer wins. I'm really happy with my strategy of these four, hearty each way investments on these.
Jolly good. And tell us what's coming up in the Racing Post tomorrow. It's a bumper package, no doubt, isn't it?
There will be all sorts, and I've got three tops and special selections for you now. If you like, we like to treat sweet spot listeners to a few, don't we? I'll be having a first round leader tip at some point in the Racing Post this week, because I'm waiting for the tee times on that. I think the afternoon starters on the first day will have a big advantage. It's so cold in the morning. And the ball won't be travelling at all. So, would you like a few little specials tips?
Well, give me two. Don't spoil the stuff that's in the Racing Post as well. Give us a couple, eh?
Or... I'll give you two. Yeah. Taylor Moore for top debutants is one I like at 9-1. Really solid all-rounder in consistent form. Six top 20s this season. Form figures from his last six tournaments, 39, 35, 1, 39, 11, 27. Made his PGA Tour breakthrough in the Valspar Championship on a difficult track 2 months ago. I think he looks by far the most solid of the debutants. And then the other one, disappointing Sunday for him, but Padraig Harrington for top senior at 15-8. Yeah, we were cheering him on in the region's tradition last week. You know, he bogeyed the first hole, Stricker birdied the first three holes, and suddenly it was game over. Must be disheartening for him. But Harrington's form generally this season on the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour is really solid. And Stricker's not in the event. Phil Mickelson is the favourite. That Masters effort from Phil Mickelson came out of nowhere. He's playing rubbish before. He's been playing rubbish since. I think he'll get a hard time off the crowd. I don't think the New Yorkers are going to give the Live boys much of a welcome, to put it mildly. And I think Harrington's playing more consistent golf.
Wonderful. Okay, let's quickly reiterate your four fancies for the USPGA.
Tony Finau, Xander Schauffele, Gary Woodland and Ricky Fowler.
Brilliant. Many thanks, Steve. Are you just devoting yourself to golf this week, or have you got any other nice, pleasant distractions?
I'm devoting myself to golf and getting my body back in some sort of order. I can hardly move at the moment. The wife asked me to trim her bush the other day. And that involved getting a chainsaw in all sorts of strange positions. I genuinely can hardly walk now. Really smashing the ibuprofens. The bush looks lovely, but I am crippled as a result.
I would not let you anywhere near a chainsaw, Steve. I've got to say, I don't want to besmirch you, but I mean that sounds like a recipe for disaster. You're pleased with it, were you?
I'm pleased with the bush. Yeah. But you're right. There's a few hairy moments where the wires.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I'm just glad you got four limbs. I had 18 at the Belfry. It was the Ed Chamberlain Golf DSM.
Tell me how that was. So difficult.
Honestly, it was impossible. It really was. The rough was up. The pin positions were awful. I mean, I was obviously terrible, but yeah, no.
Took the trophy. Do we know who took the trophy?
Who did? I think it was the racehorse owner, Steve Parkin from Clipper Logistics. I think his team won it. So fair play to them. Many congratulations to them. But it was a lovely day. It was always good. Ed hosts it so well. So yeah, no, it was very nice to see some old faces there. So that was pleasant.
Yeah, he did a lot of good work for charity. And Tommy Tiger had a good party, by the way. His fourth birthday.
Good.
Yeah, that went very well. The old inflatable lightsabers and their attacking.
Did he like his snooker cue?
Yeah. Delighted with that. Yeah.
Did you wrap it up? So it was. I love those presents that are obvious what they are. Did you wrap it up tightly so it was just obvious it was a snooker cue?
To a four-year-old, nothing is obvious. He still had a sense of shock. Yeah. I mean, it took him back 10 minutes to open it because I'd wrapped it too tight. But he was delighted with that. And the party was a riot. I had a couple of bottles. It was at a garden centre where I could have a couple of bottles of ale just to get me through it. They're so intense, aren't they, children? I managed to.
Was there a bouncy castle? I just find the sight of children bouncing around together on a bouncy castle, I think they're one of the most dangerous things in the game. Yeah. I really do. I just. Oof.
There were no fatalities, thank goodness. I just felt very old, though, Bruce. I felt very old. I don't want to get all wistful, but there was a 24-year-old dad who had two kids. 24. He said he wanted to have kids. He wanted to have kids when he had lots of energy, when he was young. And
very wise. Yeah. I mean, you'd back him for the parents' race at the school sports day, wouldn't you? Yeah. He's got 20 years on you.
Yes, exactly 20 years. And I was nodding at him. You know, and he didn't realise it. I was 20 years older than him. But... Funny old game, isn't
it? It certainly is.
Sorry, go on. Let's
no, 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 I think that's about it. Are you back next week?
Yes, wouldn't miss it for the world. It's a quadruple header.
Oh, it's a quadruple. I've got the Charles Schwab Challenge, the Dutch Open, and the Live DC. What else have we got?
Senior PGA Championship, with all due respect.
Is it really? Blimey. Yeah. Well, I'm afraid it won't be me. It will be Steve and Reeve next week.
Ah.
On the way. Okay,
Superman.
Mate.
I call him Superman.
Yeah, he should. He is a Superman.
Reeves, the character Christopher Reeves.
I think if Jack Reeves was a superhero, he'd be lovely man, wouldn't he? He's just so pleasant and nice.
I think you're talking about Ed Chamberlain. I think he's sort of like a young Ed Chamberlain. I could see him sort of. I don't want him to leave our company, but he could eventually take over from Ed Chamberlain. Can you? They're of a similar ilk.
You're trying to say he's miles better than me presenting the sweet spot.
He's a smooth operator. I'm not sure.
Oh, he's brilliant. So, yes, do join Steve and Reeve next week for another sweet spot. In the meantime, good luck with your USPGA tip, Steve. Good luck with whoever you're backing. Thank you very much to producer Will Carey. Back next week for another sweet spot.